On this episode of Aviator Cast, a flight instructor refresher course.
Welcome, aviators, to another episode of Aviator Cast. Load up your flight bag with useful flight training topics, interviews, and aviation passion. Let's kick the tires and light the fires. Coming to you from Angle of Attack Headquarters in Homer, Alaska, here's your host and flight instructor, Chris Palmer.
All right, aviators, welcome to another episode of Aviator Cast. My name is Chris Palmer. I'm actually out of my office now. You'll notice that the studio has changed. I am in the office of a mentor of mine, actually my commercial instructor as well, in Camarillo, California. I will be here for several months just getting away from the Alaska winter with my family and being with some family down here. So I'm out of my normal area, but I still plan on bringing you content. And so we're going to dive right into a fresh subject for me today, which is a flight instructor refresher course that I took this last weekend. So essentially, as flight instructors, typically we dedicate ourselves to professionalism in the industry, and we try to continually learn and grow as educators. Now, that isn't always the case, but I would say that for a lot of my colleagues, it certainly is. But on top of that, there is a regulatory requirement that we have continued training. And one of those things is what's called a flight instructor refresher course. If you don't do a flight instructor refresher course every 2 years, then you will have to retake your CFI check ride. So that is something that a lot of people want to avoid. And so they take a flight instructor refresher course. There are several ways to get around that. If you are actively instructing and you've passed off a number of people, you can have a DPE basically sign it for you. I think you can also maybe get it through a wings course. There are some other avenues to get it done, but the easiest way is to simply do a flight instructor refresher course. And what a lot of people are doing these days is they're actually doing it online. So they'll just log onto a website and they'll do it from any number of providers out there. There are a handful of them. But I actually had an opportunity here in California. It just so happened to work out that as soon as I was getting in town, there is going to be one held in Sacramento, California, by Jason Miller, who is a friend of mine and a mentor of mine. And I'm sure you may know of him too. He's from the Finer Points and does a really good job with his content. Go ahead and check him out if you don't know who he is already. He's very much in a similar vein to what I do, but he's been doing it much longer than I have and just has a lot of great insight. So he's definitely someone worth following. I know you'll find a lot of value out of what he does. So since Jason and I are friends, I thought this would be the perfect opportunity for me to not only get my flight instructor refresher course done, which needed to be done here within the next several months, but I could also hang out with him a little bit. I could see how he teaches live for one of these weekend-long courses. So I decided to make a trip up there. I went from LA up to San Francisco, got picked up by Jason, and we flew out of his home airport of San Carlos, which is where he teaches, and got to go to the little airport restaurant there. Subsequently, we flew up to Sacramento, which is where it was held, and had a beautiful flight over San Francisco, the Golden Gate Bridge, Alcatraz. We even did another lap and got to see the city from a different angle. And it is great to fly with Jason. I don't think he and I had actually had the opportunity to do that yet, so that was enjoyable. And I got some great footage and some great pictures at the same time. I've actually already posted some of those to my Instagram. So really enjoyed that process of actually just flying up there. Beautiful flight, landed at San Francisco Executive, quite a busy little airport. Not a lot going on there in terms of, I don't know, it's just kind of unassuming, but a cool airport, landed at sunset sort of thing, so it's just beautiful. So then that kind of kicks off the busy weekend. So the plan was to essentially work from around 7:30 a.m. each day until 5 p.m. We condensed that a little bit more because of the lunches that we took. You know, everyone agreed to basically cram it in a little bit more. So went through that whole weekend essentially going through the course. Now, I'm not exactly sure from the curriculum end what is required to be taught, But this whole thing was put on by AOPA, the Air Safety Institute. And so they had their own curriculum that they kind of touch on. Of course, it's definitely up to whoever is teaching the course, which is Jason in this case, to go through and put his own spin on it. So I got to see that that take place, and I was able to be there and take advantage of it. So it was a very interesting process. I'll share a little bit more about that as we go through it. But just as kind of an example of some of the subjects that we touched on, we talked about the safety trends in aviation and the accidents that are continuing to happen. We talked about teaching effectively and building a culture of safety in aviation. We had the FAA come in and present to us a little bit. We talked about professionalism. We talked about navigation in the 21st century. We talked about regulatory policy, runway safety, TSA training, pilot proficiency. Those are the things that I'm going to go through today. There were some other subjects speckled in there that I didn't necessarily take notes on, but I thought these would be worth covering today, at least a couple things here and there, just to give you kind of a look into the mind of an instructor and what we look for and what we look toward when we are teaching, and some of the things out there right now that are on that's on our radar. So I was actually on the same floor in the hotel as the FERC, so it was nice because I could just literally leave my room, and a few doors down was the room. That was very convenient. I would say there were probably about 40 students there. That's just a rough guess, but I think that's about how many students were there. I would say most of the people there weren't necessarily active instructors like Jason and I, but they were there to renew their certificate, their flight instructor certificate, and be able to just carry it on. You know, everyone has their own little story on, you know, wanting to keep it going so they can teach on the side a little bit, but there were only a handful of active instructors there. Now, that's all fine. I'm really glad there's actually plenty of CFIs out there that are trying to carry this forward and trying to keep everything active. So I'm not putting myself above anyone in that sense, because there were people there. This guy there, we found out this was after the class was over, but he had flown the DC-2, DC-3, DC-4, DC-6. He'd flown everything back in the day. So, I mean, I don't have anything above those people that aren't necessarily active instructors. I'm sure they've given thousands of hours. But, you know, I was in good company and honored to be there and excited to learn from Jason. So let's get into some of the subjects now that were covered. I hope you find some of these thoughts useful. So let's just dive into those now. I already mentioned them just a little bit, and now we'll just get right into it. Okay, so the first one is safety trends. So as I go through these, I'm just going to mention several things about this particular subject and kind of move on. It's going to be a little bit random, but I'm sure we'll find some good nuggets here that will help you out and be of value to you on this podcast, okay? So 80% of accidents are caused by pilots. I'm actually a little surprised it's that low. I thought it was more like 90%, but it's just kind of a driven point that we are the most important part in making sure that we have aviation safety. Now, as I go through here, some of these thoughts may actually be Jason's thoughts or quotes that he wrote down. And I don't know exactly what those are, but this course is done by Jason. And so a lot of these quotes are from him, and he's a quote machine, so he's pretty good that way. These days, a lot of accidents are coming from loss of control accidents. Of course, a landing is the number one place we get loss of control. We've all heard that base to final turn, or maybe you haven't, but it's that base to final turn where, you know, maybe you're getting a little slow, or you start to even skid the airplane a little bit, and you don't maintain your airspeed. Lots of factors can contribute to a loss of control in that base to final turn. And it's certainly something the FAA wants not only pilots to know, but it's a big emphasis for us instructors, because we are kind of the first line of defense in making sure that those things happen. Jason mentioned taking judgment out of the cockpit. So essentially that all decisions, all things that you're going to do are made beforehand. particularly those things that are safety related, so personal minimum sort of stuff that you already know that you're not going to make those decisions. Now, fast forward a few days. Jason was really eager to get home to his family. He has a 2-year-old and a 9-year-old or 10-year-old. And being a father myself, I know there's a lot of pressure to get home. So he had some pressure to get home on Sunday evening after we were done, but he had his personal minimums. And the wind where he was going was 40 knots and he couldn't go. So he said that he can't change his minimums the day of the flight. So he stuck around. Actually, the wind ended up dying down to levels that were within his minimums, and then Jason went. So he wasn't just preaching these things. He was actually practicing them, which I thought was good, which safe pilots do. All right. We talked a little bit about the Kobe Bryant incident, and I actually intend on my next podcast being about the Kobe Bryant incident specifically. I've really avoided getting into this, but I think I can do it in a tactful enough way where people can learn something from it that I think it's okay to talk about now. So I'll go through and share details about that in a separate podcast. But essentially that, at the end of the day, it looks like that boiled down to pilot error. And that when we are getting into a bad situation, that if you're getting into a hole, as Jason said here, if you're getting into a hole, stop digging. I thought that was a really good quote that, you know, sometimes we refer to it as the domino effect, but we gotta stop at some point and just reverse course or land or whatever it is and get ourselves out of the situation. So I thought that was an interesting one. That I think we could all think about a little bit more. Okay, so 91.3 was something that came up again. That is the responsibility and authority of the pilot in command. And at the end of the day, we're all ultimately responsible for the safety of our passengers. And man, safety just keeps coming back to that for me. It's getting people home safe to their families, and doing everything we can to make sure we do that. Aviation and flying and the transportation side of it is very convenient in a lot of ways, but it's also very unforgiving if we push it too hard. So we've got to be able to make sure we have checks and balances there. Just briefly, we touched on personal minimums. I have a greater commitment myself to make sure my students go through their own personal minimums. We talked about being a coach versus being a boss, and a coach obviously gets the best game out of the athlete. I think that's how Jason phrased it there, and it's so true. Like, I shouldn't be, and I'm not this way anyway, but as an instructor, I shouldn't be this authority in the airplane that basically hammers at home on my student. It should be more of coaching them into teaching themselves, essentially, is what it ends up being. We talked about the point of saturation for students and what that has to do with safety as well. So basically bringing them to a place where they can see that they are at the point of saturation, and that's where a lot of learning happens. And it also helps the student see that they are, or basically their limitations. It helps them see their limitations at that point. I wrote down these questions here just for myself to ponder, and that is, why is there such a disparity of risk between people like instructors and regular everyday pilots? Do we just see more of these accidents? So basically what was happening here in the class is we were going through these different accidents that had happened. They were Air Safety Institute videos, and Air Safety Institute puts out a lot of great videos to review. And, you know, people just do the dumbest things in airplanes sometimes, and it's really surprising that it goes that far. One thing I shared with Jason at lunch, kind of wrapping that whole package together, even the Kobe Bryant thing together, is I don't necessarily look at accidents myself and say, hey, I would never do something like that, and that guy's an idiot, and how could they possibly do that? I kind of reverse engineer it and say, okay, First off, I'm going to assume that I am the type of pilot that could get myself to that point. And now, what would it take to get me to get there? And I'm not any better than anyone else. I know that for a fact, like, I have the capability, and let's even stretch it a little bit and say the stupidity, to make poor decisions. And so I really need to check myself earlier on in the process rather than when it gets really critical. Maybe it's even at that point of saturation where I can't handle it anymore. So that's kind of where I start from, is I want to know that I'm not going to make those mistakes, and that I will stop that domino effect earlier on, or that I will stop digging that hole earlier on, but also assuming that I am the type of pilot that could make that mistake. Just as a really brief example, the Kobe Bryant incident accident was an 8,200 hour pilot. I don't have anywhere near that number of hours, so who am I to say that I'm better than he was? All right, so that was just a really brief kind of random thoughts on safety trends and safety thoughts. We talked about teaching effectively and building a culture of safety, which is something that I've always been really passionate about. I think about it a lot recently. We have all these books as instructors, even student pilots out there, that help us look through the maneuvers and the knowledge and how to fly the airplane, but we don't really have a lot of books that can articulate super well, or really a method of articulating super well, safety and how we build a culture of safety. And I think about that a lot. You know, what am I doing, or how am I teaching that as an instructor that is really, really being driven home for the student, so that when they leave my nest, they are a safe pilot? I really hope that my current culture of safety is doing that, but I definitely got a lot of ideas from this class to help me become a better instructor. And that's kind of what I think. So I wrote down this thought as we were going through teaching effectively and building a culture of safety. This is what I wrote down. The number one goal of learning transfer is to teach safety. And then I followed that up with a side note of maneuvers and everything else come after that. So it's actually fairly easy to learn maneuvers. It takes repetition and practice to learn how to land and take off. Landing being one of the more difficult things for people to learn, especially precision landings. But that transfer of safety knowledge and that safety mindset is so critical, and I just have I've recommitted myself to making sure that the things I do as an instructor carry through and promote that. And I do have a culture of safety in the students that I teach. All right, so we went through some of the fundamentals of instruction as well. We talked about readiness. That being, if you're not ready, you'll miss it. So if you don't show up for a lesson ready, then you're going to miss it. Effect, if you can make people feel good, then they're going to be more receptive to learning. I think this is one thing I'm pretty good at, is I'm good with people, and so I know how to give critical feedback, but also make, you know, build them up in certain ways without being dishonest in any way. So just making sure that I have a positive effect on them. Exercise, so practicing certain things is essentially what exercise comes down to, and training like you fly. So primacy, the law of primacy is that basically the first time you learn a lesson is the most powerful way that you'll learn it, and it's very difficult to break that. So Jason had this fantastic example of this. He talked about orthopedics, and if you have a broken bone and that bone doesn't heal right, then you have to re-break the bone, you have to like monitor it and help it and cast it and then go to physical therapy and all these things. And then he had several stories that talked about the law of primacy and why it mattered. And it's so true that first way you learn the lesson is the most powerful, and it's very difficult to break and relearn that. So teaching it correctly the first time, or learning it correctly the first time, is very important. talked about intensity. Basically, the intensity of a lesson can mean a lot. Lessons aren't always intense, but you definitely want to find that balance of, is this student just really nailing it and they need more intensity or more of a challenge to get them to where they're learning, kind of in that learning zone, or is it too intense and we need to dial back? But I think for the most part, people end up being too low on the intensity, and that's just something for me to think about, that maybe I can be a little bit more intense about it. I think intensity can also be directly connected to stamina in a lesson, and a lesson can only go so long before your mind starts to kind of freak out. So that's intensity. Some of you may have heard of this last one, the recency. So recency of experience is also important, and that's why you can't just do one lesson a month or once every couple weeks. That when you go for your license, if you want to do it in a quick way, you need to be doing it several times a week to really stay on top of it. Otherwise, you're going to forget those things that you learned. So that was teaching effectively and building a culture of safety. Of course, there was so much material in there. You know, I can't write everything down verbatim, but that's basically what we covered there. FAA came in and they talked about the WINGS program. So this is something that I'm interested in maybe exploring a little bit more. I know it's been around for years, but the WINGS program is essentially a continuing education program in aviation that allows us to have different flying events and different knowledge events that build us up as a pilot. I think, you know, basically you can get your flight review done by doing the WINGS program. You end up doing a lot more work in the WINGS program to get that flight review that you can just go do with an instructor if you're an active pilot. But apart from all that, I think the WINGS program just seems like it's good to be involved with and good to keep up on things and keep learning regardless of what the reward is at the end of the tunnel. So it just seems like a quality program to me. I'm interested in looking into it more. In Alaska, just thinking geographically where I'm at, typically we don't have as many meetings and things like that. So I'm not quite sure what to do about that, but you know, maybe even for what I do here at Angle of Attack, I can offer some programs online with WINGS credit. So we'll have to look into that. So that's what the FAA talked about, among some other things. We talked about professionalism, which was a good conversation to have, because I definitely feel like I am a professional instructor, and I kind of had this moment in the room as we were doing that where I realized, hey, like, I'm here, I'm paying attention, I'm really, really passionate about the craft of the teaching that I do for students, and I'm a professional. You know, I'm a professional instructor, and that's just kind of how it is. Those of you that are out there might say no, or you might say, yeah, absolutely, you're totally a professional instructor, but this is what I do, and I do it all the time, and I'm very, very up to snuff on a lot of these things. In fact, I found that several times during the class, I was sharing information as well that was new and relevant, and not a lot of other people in the class were up on that knowledge. Again, not to put myself above them, but just to say that I've done my homework, I'm in it, I'm doing it, and I'm definitely a professional. Even talked about, as a side note, charging what we're worth as instructors and making sure that we're not basically driving down prices for how much work we're actually putting into it. And I definitely put a lot of work into what I do, and so I think that was good for me to hear. Just some more thoughts on what I could do through my professionalism to promote aviation and continue to do what I'm doing. So that was all a good thing to hear. And I hope that those of you that do choose to become instructors, that you dedicate yourself to a level of professionalism in what you're doing. I think anyone at the commercial pilot level and above should be or should have a professional mindset. So that would obviously mean as an instructor as well. Okay, so then we talked about navigation in the 21st century. We talked about some ADS-B stuff. There was some new knowledge there I hadn't learned about before. Talked a lot about the distractions that technology can can take from us, and really that it all comes back down to the basics. So I still think that we're still in a stick and rudder era. I don't know if we'll ever leave that era as pilots unless something else is just completely flying for us. And plenty of good information there in the ADS-B category. Regulatory policy by the FAA. So the FAA has this new policy that they basically want to approach deviations from regulations as more of a teaching opportunity than a slap on the wrist or escalating it to some sort of action from the FAA. This has been going on for a handful of years now, and it's definitely a great thing for for aviation safety and for promoting aviation in a positive way. Because basically what happens on the other side, if there is the fear of the authority, which would be the FAA, then a lot of the things that are actually happening in the real world can be held back from the FAA, information that could help them improve safety programs, and then it doesn't help anybody. So now that they're open about things to going through things in a positive way and using these incidents as teaching moments, we have a much better relationship with the FAA, okay? All right, so we talked about runway safety, some of those things. You know, I've done things on runway safety before. You can look back in this podcast. Runway safety is huge. So many of the accidents that we see in aviation happen there. We are getting a lot of complex airports, and there's just a vigilance that we need to recommit ourselves to in terms of runway safety. I know for me, the iPad and ForeFlight is hugely helpful now in maintaining situational awareness at an airport. You know, we've got hotspots, we've got land and hold short operations, we've got all these things that can kind of complex the process. But if we write it down and we're even geo-referenced on our charts and we draw our taxi path, then we're going to be very situationally aware. In addition to keeping our eyes out the window and not doing too much work while we're actually taxiing, that's going to get rid of a lot of these safety incidents that happen around runways, okay? So that was runway safety. Again, great resources out there. I've done a couple of podcasts on it. Go back and look at those. Talked about TSA training, and I haven't been super familiar with how to approach foreign students. I've had some requests on it, but that was interesting. And just, you know, I actually got renewed on my TSA safety training. So basically, instructors are the first line of defense for the TSA, for anyone that's trying to do that. You know, as an instructor, just really briefly, I have to check the citizenship of a student before they can start full training. But for training events like just little mountain flying courses or like a discovery flight or something like that, I don't have to do that TSA safety check. So we just went through all that again. I have the literature and plan on referring to it whenever I need to. All right, so that was TSA training. And then went into more about pilot proficiency. And here I got pretty inspired to build, like, I don't know if I'd call it proprietary, but like a proprietary or special or unique flight review that I do that I feel hits on a lot of the hot points in aviation right now. And that is the standard that I have for everyone that I do a flight review for. You know, I've definitely been guilty of doing very quick flight reviews in the past, and it really depends on who the pilot is and how I approach it. Because around where I am, there are a lot of professional bush pilots that need their flight review done, so I end up doing some of those. But I need to have the same standard for everyone, so that was a good opportunity in this lesson within the FERC to recommit myself to some of the things that are needed out there. You know, emergency procedures, loss of control, example, CFIT and VMC and the IMC were all things that stood out as things that needed to be done there. And then things that were perhaps relevant to my area or relevant to the student. So that is kind of the randomness of the outline that I had here from taking notes at the FERC. I want to thank AOPA for letting me go to that, and Jason for being such a great teacher, and also for the great flight we took up. Just a really great experience, and I typically think that I want to lean toward the live FERCs. I just really enjoy being in person and getting to meet new people, and just the immediacy of being there and being in it together, I think, is good for me. So I really enjoyed it, and if you are looking to do a FERC yourself, I can't recommend it enough. They are holding them all over the nation, AOPA is. And of course, if you have to do it online, you can do it there as well. But yeah, really enjoyed it, and it was a positive experience for me. I felt like I grew a little bit, and that's always what I'm trying to do as a pilot. So that is it. I hope you guys got something out of this today, even if you aren't an instructor, and I hope you are looking forward to recommitting yourself to aviation safety as well. I think that's what I got out of all of this. If there's anything I can ever do for you, please let me know. That's what I do here. I respond to a lot of messages on Instagram and elsewhere, so that's probably the best place to reach out to me. Of course, if you enjoyed this podcast, please like and subscribe. There's also this little bell notification on YouTube that if you want to get the podcast or any video that I do when I do it, then that will send you a notification. If you need ground school or check ride preparation, head on over to angleofattack.com and you can find those there. That's what I do. That's how I make money. That's how I basically sustain myself. And I also love to teach, but it's winter time, so it's kind of in a famine area for me, at least in Alaska. So appreciate you being here. Keep up the good work. Let me know if there's anything I can do for you. And until next time, throttle on.
We sincerely thank you for joining us on Aviator Cast. Please subscribe through your favorite podcast service and leave a review. Check out more flight training resources at angleofattack.com. There you can find this podcast, many free aviation training videos, as well as online ground school for private instrument, commercial, and CFI. Got a check ride coming up? Check Ride Ace from Angle of Attack is your ultimate companion, guiding you through the process so you can conquer your big day. Thanks once again for joining us on Aviator Cast. Turn left, contact Ground Point Niner.